This is Sean Rogers of the Business Intelligence Network, and you're listening to the Morning Announcements.
It's the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Hello, everyone. This is Dave Jackson. Welcome to the Morning Announcements, the official podcast of the School of Podcasting.com. On the show today, we're going to be talking about using music in podcasts. We're going to answer some listener email, and we've got the one, the only, don't be fooled by cheap imitations, P.W. Fenton of Digital Flotsam. But let's get that business stuff out of the way. If you want more information about this podcast, simply go out to schoolofpodcasting.com. If you'd like to drop me an email, simply send it to schoolofpodcasting@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to drop me a voicemail, simply call on the Call 8 toll-free number, 888-563-3228. And somebody, one of the emails I'm going to be answering is about using music in podcasts. And one of the reasons why I use this kind of funky, fun, kind of wacky music to open the show is because I feel I'm a fun, wacky, weird kind of guy. And really isn't. I mean, your podcast is so unique because it's got you. And to me, it was fun. It was kind of rock, but not being heavy metal. So that's why, I mean, to me, if the podcast sounded like this when it started, it just wouldn't be me. This is Dave Jackson. Welcome to the Morning Announcements, the official podcast of the School of Podcasting.com. Hello, everyone. This is Dave Jackson. Welcome to the Morning Announcements, the official podcast of the School of Podcasting.com. All right, so music does help set the tone. And one of the people we'll be talking with today, P.W. Fenton of Digital Flotsam, digitalflotsam.org, he really builds a phenomenal, phenomenal podcast. And one of the tools he uses is music to set the mood. We'll be talking a little bit about that later. Hey, let's answer some listener email. This is from, I'll just say, David L. Says, "Dear Dave, I've been trying to find a basic answer to a basic podcasting question. I have completed a podcast and can post it to my website. I also have a blog site wherein I can list my show notes. The part I'm confused about is the whole issue of RSS. For anybody that cares, it stands for Really Simple Syndication. Is it just a matter of going to the podcast director service and listing the link to my blog there? I see there are other services that are supported through my blog, such as newscrawler.com. However, I gather there are yet other ones available for podcasts, which are listed on schoolofpodcasting.com, which they are. We've got a whole big list of podcast directories. My bottom line question is, do I need to know something about RSS, or will I be a part of it by default as I register at locations such as Podcast Pickle?" Well, first of all, Dave, thank you very much for the email. And number two, don't feel bad. RSS is probably one of the more confusing parts of podcasting because it's new. Here's how this works. You're going to list your RSS feed at the directory. So Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, iTunes would be one of the first ones you'd want to do, podcast charts, things like that. And what is in the RSS feed is any new shows. Every time you post a show, you will update the RSS feed, and that RSS feed will say, here's the name of the show, the title, here's where the MP3 file is, here's how long it is, and any other notes you put into the RSS feed. So what you do when you're updating your blog is you are updating your RSS feed. That way, when all the directories go out to look at your site, they look at the RSS feed and say, oh, look, Dave's put up a new show. And anybody that's using a software package like Juice, when they fire it up and say, check for a new podcast, they say, look, Dave's got a new show, and it'll automatically download that to their computer. So RSS is kind of the blood of podcasting. It's what connects us to all the directories, and it connects the listener to the podcaster, because that's how I know you have a new show. Now, the one thing I wanted to point out with RSS is most, I would say 90% of the blogging software out there will produce an RSS feed. Now, if you're using a free blog service like WordPress, I know a lot of people use WordPress. I use WordPress. I believe the default template has a link to the RSS feed right at the bottom. If not, send me another email. We have a tutorial that'll show you how to locate your RSS feed and how to change the skins on your WordPress feed and things of that nature. But when you simply add your, in WordPress at least, and that's, we'll just stick with WordPress for now, when you simply put a link to your MP3 at the beginning of your show notes, it puts what are called enclosures around the MP3 file, or the MP3 file location, and that then updates your blog. Now, there's difference. Your RSS, like, for instance, let me give you an example. I have a blog for musicians called The Musicians Cooler. It's also a podcast. And if you go to musicianscooler.com/blog, that is a readable, you know, blog entries and things of that nature. Whereas an RSS feed is not really intended to be read. You can read it. It's kind of, you know, techie geek, you know, mumbo jumbo. But so you'll be listing the RSS feed, I guess, is the bottom line. I wouldn't list musicianscooler.com/blog at Podcast Pickle, because that's not my RSS feed. I hope that answers your question. There's a whole lot more I could go into about listing in directories and how to do it fast and which ones to list at first and things like that, but maybe we'll save that for another podcast. But for now, Dave, hope that answers your question. Thank you very much for your email. Our next listener mail comes from, and I'm going to butcher your name, I'm going to say Prabjit. It's P-R-A-B-J-I-T. I thank you very much. I'm going to call you Big P for now, rather than butcher your name. And I mean no offense by that. I was wondering if you could do a free podcast, because we do have a students-only version. That's why he's saying that. You're listening to the free version. There's a student's version. It says, can you do a free podcast with general music tips and podcasts? I've heard your intro song playing throughout the podcast very faint, and I was wondering if you could tell me some of the major pitfalls to avoid when planning a show with musical transitions and other related things. Well, Prabjit, thank you very much for that. Well, there's a couple reasons why I use background music. Number one, it's not so bad right now. Let me turn this off. I have a noise gate. Can you hear how noisy my room is? Because one of the things I say, we've got a lot of tutorials on planning your podcast. One of the things I say is, you know, find a quiet room in your house. That does not exist in my house. It just doesn't. And luckily, at the beginning of the podcast, because of the noise gate, hopefully you didn't hear it, I had people in the room next to me playing PlayStation 2. And the bass was just rumbling through here, and I was hoping it wasn't get caught in. So that's one of the reasons why I use music, because even with my noise gate, which I'll turn back on, can hear all the bumps and stuff. I can reach out and touch my water heater, and another on the other side of that is my furnace. So, and yes, this is the quietest place in the house, believe it or not. We've got like five people in the house. So let me turn up my noise gate. Okay, so now you can't hear that stuff. So the other, so some pitfall. Well, number one, music can set the mood. I picked the kind of funky jazzy intro because I'm kind of a funky jazzy kind of guy, and I play a lot with, it's a marketing thing, but I play a lot with the school theme. Obviously, the name of the show, The Morning Announcements, plays with the school theme. That's why I have the school bell. On the website, there are different levels of tutorials. One is elementary, one's junior high, one's senior high. But music can set the tone. So you wouldn't want to make a really serious point. Like, let's right now, I'll say, I'd like to talk to you right now about the people in Mississippi. They still need your help. I saw pictures. My cousin was a volunteer worker in Mississippi and brought back pictures, and he was standing in front of people's houses, and it was just shrapnel. Now, can you see what that kind of clowny music behind that just doesn't fit? Now, the other thing that you have to keep in mind if you're using background music is I assemble this podcast. I'm just doing the vocal right now, and I actually put the music in underneath. I either use Mixcraft. I really like Mixcraft. I occasionally use Sony Acid as well. And maybe someday I'll get Adobe Audition. We'll talk about that in a minute. But so if you're doing a live podcast, let's say you're using Cast Blaster, and Cast Blaster has a new feature now where you can set the volume very low for something and you can have it loop. And you can have it loop in the background. Well, I'm going to count to 10 right now, and with the music underneath me, and I'm going to cut out 5 through 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 9, 10. You can see if you have music playing in a live podcast, you are kind of handcuffing yourself to editing. And there's nothing wrong with doing a live podcast. Some people love to do a live podcast and just leave everything go. You know, Adam Curry is a great example of that. I was listening to a great podcast, the podcast The Bitterest Pill. Dan Klass had one, and his kid kept interrupting, and it added to the flavor of the show. It was a kind of a no-edit kind of show. It was great. So that was the other thing I see a lot with background music is it's too loud. It's too... Now, mine, when I actually go back and listen times, I think it's too soft. But again, my sole purpose of my music many times is to, A, just drown out any noise that's going... It's trying to drown out the dryer. So you don't hear that zipper banging in the background. Another use of music, if you listen to Scott Fletcher at podcheck.com, another great podcast, he uses music to, again, background music. And when he moves to a new topic, he puts in new music. It's a mental thing, but it just helps you know, okay, we're moving on to a new topic. So that's another use of background music. So I hope that answers your question. That's some of the pitfalls. The biggest pitfall is that it kind of ruins your editing unless you're doing something like Adobe Audition or if you're doing it assembly. You're really the biggest problem is if you're doing it live is where you're going to run into a problem, and that's just typically volume levels. And the key to that is before you actually do some tests, basically, you know, hit record, hit the music and talk, and then listen to it back and make sure you can hear it yourself. Because if the listener's got a strain to hear what's going on, or even if they can hear what's going on, if it's too loud, then it becomes a distraction. And do you want them to listen to music or do you want them to listen to you? If it's too loud, it becomes a distraction to the listener, in my opinion. But thanks again for the question. Hope that helped out. And if you have a question, again, schoolofpodcasting@gmail.com or call it in 888-563-3228. All right. Last up here, I was lucky enough to get in contact with P.W. Fenton. Now, he works a lot with Adam Curry. He assembles all of the pod show stuff for series and things of that nature. P.W. really likes Adobe Audition. And now that's typically a $300-ish software. And when we kind of emailed back and forth, and the reason it wasn't really... the price wasn't that big a deal for P-Dub was it was originally called Cool Edit. It was a shareware program. And then it went to Cool Edit Pro, and it was like $30. And then when Adobe bought it, you could actually upgrade to Adobe Audition for a very reasonable price. And so that's how he got involved with Adobe Audition. He got it when it was, you know, $30, and it was Cool Edit Pro. Now, Digital Flotsam is P-Dub's podcast, and there are some podcasts that, you know, as soon as they download, I'm like, I can't wait to throw them on the iRiver and listen to them on the way to work. P-Dubs never makes it to the iRiver. I'm telling you, I'm looking at my Juice software, and as soon as that bad boy says 100% complete, it's downloaded, I'm hitting play. It typically does not make it to my iRiver. I listen to it as soon... I listen to it as I'm downloading other podcasts. To me, last year, I think it was Adam Curry, actually, that got Best Produced Podcast, and P-Dub was robbed. It's a very unbelievably well-produced show, and he kind of he had a thing. He used to play some RIAA music in it, and he actually helped those artists a lot. Unfortunately, not due to the RIAA being a little more sensitive to podcasting, he has now gone back and cut that out. So, but to me, he's a great storyteller, and he uses things like sound effects and music to enhance moods and to tell the story. And to me, it's just a phenomenal use of podcasting. So if you want to hear a very well-produced podcast, go over to Digital Flotsam. Now, Flotsam is FLOTSAM, and it's .org. Now, what was that guy's name? Prabjit. If you want to see what an RSS feed looks like, and that was Dave who was asking about RSS feeds, go to digitalflotsam.org, and you can see where P-Dub's got a link to his shows right there on the front. And he's also got a link right there to his RSS feed. If you click on that, you can actually read his RSS, and you can see that gobbledygook I was talking about. So, but I asked him, you know, I said, I know you're a big fan of Adobe Audition, and I had gone ahead and made a quick kind of, that's about 10 minutes, overview of Adobe Audition for the site for people who wanted to see it. But my question was, you know, this is $300. And granted, it wasn't an issue for him because he'd been using it so long. But what were some of the, what makes Adobe Audition kind of the Cadillac of podcasting? So here's what he said. And P-Dub, thank you very, very much for sharing your insights.
What originally attracted me to Cool Edit or Audition was really that it was designed by audio people. People who had an experience in analog recording. So it immediately made sense to me. There are many other audio packages that are clearly written by programmers. Programmers are more inclined to make up their own logic, their own way of doing things that, frankly, for me, as an old guy who's been doing audio for a long time, just have trouble grasping. In many cases, they're talking about the exact same things that I've known and done, but they've given them new names, new order. So I steer away from them. Truly, if you are somebody who's just starting out in audio, probably any piece of software you pick up is going to be the one that you like because it's the one you learned first. So there is that element. Audition is just so feature rich. I've been using it since the mid-90s, like I said, and there are features that I've never used. I just haven't had the occasion to need a specific feature, or in some cases, I haven't taken the time to learn how to use them properly. There's just too much that it can do. So, basically, if you want to do a podcast that's like Dawn and Drew or the Daily Source Code, basically a live kind of talk show, maybe a little music, maybe one or two microphones, but something that's going to be essentially done live, there's no need to spend the amount of money that you would need to buy Audition. Audition isn't going to offer many advantages to somebody doing a show like that. But if you're somebody who wants to put together a show the way I do, where there's a lot of sort of well-planned-out elements that need to be assembled into a smooth-flowing whole, then you couldn't do better than Adobe Audition. It's just so easy to do the kinds of things that I must do to produce my show, Digital Flotsam. Just a little tip that I'd like to give you. If you can still get your hands on a copy of Cool Edit Pro that you can install legitimately on your machine, you can upgrade still from that program to Adobe Audition at a way reduced price.
Thank you very much, P.W. Fenton. Check him out at digitalflotsam.org. You will not be disappointed. Hey, I know we're running late. I had to answer the email. You know, we're running a little late, so I wanted to let you know. I was at the mall this weekend and sitting on Santa's lap, and he said, Dave, I don't know if you know this or not, you're still on the naughty list. And I'm like, dude, what do I got to do to get on the nice list? He says, hey, that $4.99 sign-up fee at the school of podcasting.com, how about cutting that bad boy in half? So I did. All you got to do when you go out to school of podcasting.com, I click on the sign up button, type in the coupon code of Santa, S-A-N-T-A, and you will receive 50% off your first month. So appreciate you taking time to listen to the podcast. To contact me one last time, schoolofpodcasting@gmail.com. That toll-free number, 888-563-3228. Or if you want, go out to the website and click on the live help, and we can chat live, or you can leave me a message. Thank you very much. Everyone on the East Coast, stay warm and drive safe. Enjoy your holiday season. And until next time, class dismissed.